Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the War Room Live is on. We're going to talk about the race with Thomas Massey as it's coming down to the wire, and he needs a bump to get him across. Polls are a little bit iffy right now. We'll cover that in this hour. But sticking to the crime topic, I want to go to a video. This was posted by somebody on X named Frojax, F-R-O-J-A-X. I'm not sure if this is the person in the video or if they just posted it. But I thought it was a good argument as to why, you know, the Chud the Builder case, the trial, the shooting that occurred, is not just, you know, a sideshow. It actually has merit as a, you know, free speech case in this country. Again, I think this Frojax guy makes a very good argument for that. Let's watch.
Chud the Builder has been arrested after a shooting outside of Montgomery County Courthouse in Clarksville, Tennessee. A confrontation with another man named Joshua Fox escalated into a physical fight and gunfire. Chud allegedly fired multiple shots, hitting the other man in the shoulder and in the stomach. Now, the media wants you to view this in a very specific way. Evil, racist white man attacks an African-American military veteran for no reason, attempting to take his life out of hate. We can see this clearly by the way that headlines are written, or by the selective use of imagery to portray Chud as an angry bigot and Joshua Fox as a kind-hearted man just trying to get by. The media wants you to believe that this incident was one-sided and focuses solely on Chud and his history, recent behavior, and negative actions. It's really important to point out that Joshua Fox has a long and confirmed criminal history of his own, including domestic violence and an arson attempt in 2024 when he tried to use an aerosol can and a lighter to burn down his wife's apartment. His wife reported that he was the primary aggressor and threatened her life with a screwdriver. Fox was charged with aggravated stalking and solicitation of a minor after stalking actress Maisie Stella from the TV show Nashville in 2019. He sent her sexually explicit messages, including an image of a woman that he allegedly raped at gunpoint. This stemmed from a multi-year investigation. He had prior rape and kidnapping charges in Asheville, North Carolina, before being transferred to Tennessee for the stalking case. Joshua Andrew Stephen Fox is listed on the Tennessee Sex Offender Registry. Joshua Fox is not a clean victim with no history. He has a clear pattern of violent and predatory behavior. The possibility that he could have been the primary instigator in the situation is perfectly reasonable. This is contrary to the narrative that the media tries to spin. A poor disabled veteran just reacting to mean words. We don't live in a country that represents the men of our nation. White people do not have any favorable media representation. Time and time again, we see the black community react to undeniably heinous acts of violence by filtering events through the lens of group solidarity. When it comes down to people's tribal nature, they are unable to prioritize universal moral abstractions. It's them versus the oppressor. I could take the time today to research both state and federal legal code and come to you with a well-articulated defense for Chud's actions. I could cite statutes and analyze the available video and police reports. I could type out some nuanced take, and some liberal faggot could do the same thing for the other guy. But with regards to the overall conclusion, it does not matter. Just like Kyle Rittenhouse, just like Shiloh Hendricks, just like Austin Metcalf, just like Irina Zarudska, we must take our own side. We can pretend that it's about right and wrong or about principles or legal obedience, but when it comes down to it, the people will default to tribe. The reality is that racial tensions are rising once again, and they must be addressed. This is not working. We don't support running around instigating altercations, causing violence, calling people names. But as white people continue to look out for their own, call out clear double standards in our country and begin reacting to this decades-long and one-sided aggression, it's going to happen. It's well within our rights to use our language freely. Our forefathers purchased the right to freedom of speech, and nobody will tell us otherwise. If you'd like to contribute to Chud's legal fund, we will post the URL in the video description. Wishing the best for Chud and his child. For us, the final solution is clear as day, and everything else is just noise. Total remigration.
Frojax.net.
We believe in freedom of speech.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
What we like to say.
No, I thought you were going to do it. I love you, bro. Thank you. No, as long as you say yes, we're good. But you see how we show love out here? No hate. They clip it and they try to do the fake news thing, make me look like somebody who hates people. Dad. God bless y'all. Thank you. What up, bro? Showing love to everybody tonight.
Well, I know. It's funny because I see a lot of your shit, and it's funny because here's the thing. Sorry, just been.
No, you're good.
Bro, obviously it's controversial and shit like that, but in America you have freedom of speech. The key is this. If somebody's talking shit, if somebody's being weird, if you don't like it, don't give a reaction. Don't put yourself in a position of
don't jump out.
Your life or go to jail. Right, like you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Sorry, the fuck is the problem? Yeah.
More Chud the Builder news on the other side. Stay with us. We'll give you an update, the latest of Chud's case, and we'll show you some stats to show you how ridiculous he is.
make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Welcome back, folks. Talking about crime, talking about criminal justice here. And there's another example that I think kind of goes along with this. Like, I understand that you want to write laws that can just sort of just apply, almost like an algorithm, right? It's just like you committed X, then you get Y punishment. I mean, it should be very simple, but the law obviously is there to administrate human affairs, which are never cut and dry, never as mechanical as robots would like it, is always a little bit of wiggle room. And we're being hamstrung by some of this stuff. Like, I can even understand the argument, not that I agree with it, but I can understand the argument that says whenever there is a deadly police action, it should be investigated. No matter what, you want to investigate it, just because what you want to avoid is police basically being able to murder people and get away with it. That's not a good thing. And a lot of times we've seen these sort of internal investigations that police do are woefully insufficient. Daniel Shraver, I believe, or maybe I might be mixing that up with another guy. It was Daniel Shraver, was a guy it was before George Floyd. But was just brutally killed by police. It's on video. And the guy, I mean, you cannot imagine a more brutal police killing than this guy. Literally crawling on his hands and knees, weeping, drunk out of his mind. Just like, what's going on? And then the police just murder him in cold blood. Totally brutal, totally ridiculous. You know, the type of stuff that, like, you should actually be concerned about if you care about police brutality. Not that Black Lives Matter had anything to say about that, obviously, because the guy was white and they're actually just about racial division. But regardless, I think the outcome of that was like, yeah, they investigated it and they determined that the guy, you know, the police may have not acted totally lawfully, but, you know, he was allowed to do it. He basically got a paid vacation for a little while, right? He was placed on leave pending an investigation. And even if he gets fired, like, he still gets his pension and everything. So, like, okay, I understand that, like, just leaving it to the internal investigation doesn't always get justice. I can even understand the idea that you'd say, look, as a blank, you know, policy, let's just subject everybody to, you know, an outside investigation in this form in the grand jury. I can understand the argument. But then you have to have some humanity. You have to have the ability to look at a rule set and say, this doesn't apply. Tony Tempa, this was the police officer name? I thought his name was Daniel. I'm not sure if this is the same one I'm thinking of. Maybe it was. But there have been a lot. There have been a lot of these, okay? So, okay, I get it. I get that, you know, you got police running around here. They've got the ability to kill people. They've got the ability to use physical force. I understand why you'd want to have some oversight of that. But where's the humanity? When you've got police officers who rush into an active shooter situation and put down the gunman while he's in the process of murdering people, I think you can skip the grand jury for that. I think it's okay. I think you go, nope, literally everybody, like, this was seen by 1,000 people and they all are like, thank God that police officer saved our life. So just don't worry about the grand jury. Just don't worry about it. Just don't need it, actually. It's fine. But that never seems to be the case. There's another example, again from today, and this is where, once again, it's like, you know, I talk a lot about the freedoms that we have, it's like we've forgotten why we have them. It's like they've been so divorced from their underlying purpose, we don't even understand them anymore, and they're invoked when they shouldn't be, and they're not invoked when they should be. You know, free speech, for one thing. The idea of free speech is that you don't want the government crushing your political activism. That's the purpose of free speech. You don't want the force of the government with its monopoly on violence using that monopoly on violence to shut you up because you disagree with them or because you can point out they're lying or you know something about them that they don't want out there. That's what free speech is for. I don't believe that you should be able to invoke, you know, the concepts of free speech if you're talking about transing kids, right? No, it's not valuable. That's not, you know, that's not actually, you know, appropriate application of that concept. Do you understand what I mean? Because what ends up happening is legitimate political speech ends up getting crushed, whereas the label free speech is used to just make it impossible to do anything about proliferation of pornography across the internet and at our universities. And, you know, it's like, yeah, we absolutely believe in free speech. You know, to us, that means OnlyFans gets to operate, you know, with no oversight. But anybody promoting anything to the right of Patrick Buchanan is, you know, a terrorist and a Nazi that needs to be surveilled and monitored. So we've sort of lost the plot a little bit on some of these underlying concepts and what makes them important. Same thing with like the Second Amendment. Sure, it is for hunting. Sure, you can participate in gun sports and that's a, you know, valid thing to do. Nobody has a right to tell you not to. But the reason we have the Second Amendment is so that if they try to do what they're doing in Ukraine, instead of fathers being hauled away to die on a battlefield, we're just going to kill the recruiters. Like, that's what it's for. I think that should be obvious. Having a right to be armed is having dignity as a human being, is not being a slave. It's not even about the gun as much as the idea that you don't arm your slaves. So anybody having, you know, being able to be armed isn't a slave. It's actually like pretty simple. And you don't even have to fire the gun for it to have the impact it's supposed to have. I say all this because there's another situation today with, in this case, Luigi Mangione. I'll try to find the exact article here. But in a word, they basically are saying that the police are not allowed to use the evidence of what was found in his backpack because they didn't have like a warrant to search the backpack. Judge blocks evidence from Luigi Mangione backpack in United Healthcare CEO murder case. Again, is this an appropriate use of, you know, the right to privacy? Because I am torn. I don't want to undermine the right to privacy. I actually think it is valuable in principle and really shouldn't be messed with at all. But this is not what it's supposed to be used for. Like, the idea is that the police have the ability to do this stuff, but not the right to do it, right? A police officer can't just go, I don't like the way that guy's looking at me. I'm going to go rummage through his backpack to find something that I can call a weapon or find something I can call drug paraphernalia. It's supposed to be there so, you know, politicians can't say to the police officer, hey, you know, this guy's causing me trouble. Maybe you go find something in his papers that doesn't add up right and we can charge him for tax evasion. It's supposed to be there to protect innocent people from overreach and exploitation by the government. Does anybody think that these police officers were motivated by anything other than their duty? If they're looking for this murderer, looking for Luigi Mangione, find the guy, open his backpack to search what's there, because he just murdered a man in cold blood, because he just shot a man, and you're pretty sure this is the guy. You don't know if he's got explosives. You don't know if he's got a gun and, you know, or whatever else. Maybe he's got fentanyl. I mean, you're dealing with a psychopath terrorist. You're dealing with somebody who literally just murdered a man in cold blood. You cannot predict what he's willing to do or capable of doing. So I would think that the police, when arresting him, searching his backpack, like, you expect them not to search his backpack. You think they should arrest the guy who just murdered him. They arrest him on murder charges. They're allowed to do that, but they're not allowed to search in his backpack while they do. This is what I mean. It's like, so what, now I'm supposed to be arguing against the Fourth Amendment? I'm arguing against unlawful search and seizure? I think we've missed the mark here. I think the purpose of these rights that we have, the Bill of Rights and the amendments therein, are to protect us against things that are happening at scale now in the United States government. Like, do you understand what I mean by how far off we've gone? That when the founders wrote the Fourth Amendment, it was like, yeah, we don't want the government having carte blanche access to all of your papers. Like, what a horrifying overreach that would be, and what a powerful weapon that would be in the hands of a tyrant. People just to come in and like, plant stuff, they can do whatever they want. No, no, no. We're going to have a control system. We're going to have judges that have to approve the warrant. They have to be totally, you know, unimpeachable. They have to be above the fray. They can't be involved in the, you know, day-to-day goings on. They have to be the authority that simply dictates applicable warrants when they arise. It's gone from that to, now you can't search the murderer's backpack or else all of that evidence gets thrown out while he's being arrested. Meanwhile, the government is just running gigantic internet-wide dragnets where they're capturing every phone call you've ever had and has portals for direct access to the back end of every social media company. So do you see where we've gone a little bit off the rails? A little bit that these rights, these powers that the government has are no longer fit for purpose. They're not being used correctly. And I don't know how we've gone this far off the rails. It's just crazy. It's literally like everything that we talk about. It's like everything that we talk about. Maybe it is just because the world is so different now, but it's like all the laws are so divorced from the realities. It's like, what are we doing here? The 14th Amendment and the recent conversation we had about that. It's like, what are we doing? We're debating an amendment that was only written as a workaround to the other requirement that existed at the time that the only people who could be naturalized were white European men. So that doesn't exist anymore, obviously, with Hartzeller and all these other, you know, immigration acts and programs and rewrites of the law. That's not a law anymore, but we still have to abide by the amendment that was made to deal with the law that doesn't exist anymore. What are we doing? What are we doing? I don't believe that we have to be stuck in a system like this. I don't believe that we have to deal with this legacy system that is so utterly incoherent at this point. The Fourth Amendment is being violated continually by the government every chance they get. The only time it's ever going to be invoked is in a case like this, which is not what it was made for in the first place. Because Luigi Mangione was not targeted by a, you know, vindictive and unlawful act of the government. He's not an activist that is being targeted by, you know, the feds for lawfare abuse. Our people are. That has happened routinely to us on our side. Never addressed. It will only, the Fourth Amendment will only come into play if and when it can be used to get an obviously guilty suspect, you know, an easier time in trial, which is just like, why? Why do we put up with this? Why do we deal with this? And unfortunately, the answer is right in front of us. Bloodthirsty Luigi Mangione fangirls unapologetically celebrate CEO's assassination. F. Brian Thompson. His children are better off without him. See, this is one of those situations where I think good for the goose, kill the goose. This is one of these situations where I'm like, when the goose is advocating that you murder eagles, the goose has forfeited their life. We're talking about goose, remember. We're talking about geese and goose-like animals. It's just one of those things. I feel like, this is sort of an impossible thing to employ, but it would be appropriate. It would be just if, like, you advocate for censorship, you should be censored. And if you advocate for murder, you should be killed. Seems fair, right? We should actually be doing this. I don't know why we're not. It'd stop people from making stupid comments like this. I think we have a video of this. I'm not sure if we can go to that. I haven't looked it up yet. I haven't watched this yet, and I almost don't want to. We can go to clip number 5 here. End Wokeness posted this. Mamdani gave these people press passes. They're now at the courthouse celebrating murder. Let's watch.
Children are better off without him. They need to learn to not be like their dad and enjoy the blood money, kids.
What was that? I didn't get that, what you said.
I'm standing on business with Brian Thompson. I don't give a flying fuck about millions of Americans.
I liked it.
Millions of Americans suffer every single day from the lack of medical healthcare. We had a literal infant named Gisela who, because of how negligent her health insurance was, she died. An infant died. So if you guys are okay with someone like Ryan Thompson being around and that being a part of our society, that says more about you as a person because you look absolutely monstrous defending someone like that. Participates in social murder. That's what we
mass social murder. He's responsible for more deaths than Osama bin Laden. And I remember Americans celebrating when Osama bin Laden was killed. It's not like we don't understand heroic violence or like when violence is good. That's like as America guys.
I mean, why do we protect the Second Amendment so much? Is it to allow people to shoot up schools or is it for us to protect our democracy?
I think it's to protect our democracy.
I'm not saying, you know, we should all take up arms, but when your democracy is eroded and there's no other option, like, what are we meant to do?
So, in case you've never heard the term, social murder was a concept that the communists came up with. It means something other than murder, you understand. Kind of like social justice is something other than justice. Social murder is when you don't kill anybody, but they want to justify killing you. See how that works? Social murder is a concept used to describe unnatural or premature deaths that occur due to preventable problems in social, political, or economic systems rather than direct violence often associated with murder. Yeah, murder is a thing where you kill somebody. Social murder is a thing where they blame somebody's death on you because they hate you because you're a white man. It's what happens when brown people die in America, so you can claim it's white people murdering them. See, I'm more concerned about the murder than the social murder. But just so you know, I mean, these are like socialist talking points. And of course, Hassan Piker is right there with him. He's doing interviews with the New York Times or somebody where they're like, do you think stealing's good? And he's like, yeah, I think stealing's super cool. And they're like, me too. I like stealing. So I can't actually say what I think should be done to these women. So you're going to have to read my mind. Unfortunately, this segment of the show is for those capable of telepathic communication only. But I think you get the message I'm sending. Because, I mean, these people are out there, like, what you'd want to ask them, you know. And of course, like, they're so unbelievably stupid. It really is dangerous. Like, what do we do about this? These people are so dumb. Like, obviously, what happens when everybody's stealing? Oh, you're stealing from a grocery store. Guess what? That grocery store can't afford insurance anymore. So now they have to close down. Oh, now you have a food desert. Oh, now you're crying in front of the news stations saying that the grocery store is racist because they've left your community without a place to buy fresh food. And then you're going to, you know, demand a solution to that, which involves more stealing, only this time by the government of white people's money to redistribute to you. So again, the idea that like a woman dying of a preventable disease because insurance, you know, didn't cover it It's a bad thing. Sure. Is it murder? No. Actually, no, it's not. It's not. It's just not. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. Murder is what Luigi Mangione did. So, again, even in their own statements, like, it doesn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense. But I'd want to ask them, like, okay, who else should be murdered? Give us a list of names. Or are you only going to celebrate it after they get murdered? Like, how far do you want to go with this? Because maybe they're right. You know, maybe they're onto something. You know, maybe I've had my eyes opened by these, I don't know, people who look like they got dressed by the same people who decorated the laser tag near my house. She's wearing laser tag decorations as clothing. This dumbass woman. Yeah, maybe she's right. Maybe we just need, you know, heroes like Luigi Mangione. Maybe these people can't be convinced. We don't know. Again, I just, like, just imagine you're Brian Thompson's kid. Brian Thompson. And remember, Brian Thompson was the CEO at United Healthcare. If you look up anything about him, his entire career was dedicated to trying to solve the very problems that people who are anti-insurance are pointing out. Like, he, before he died, was going around giving speeches about, like, we can't just treat people when they're sick. We have to help people stay healthy. You know, the insurance company's messed up. We only pay people out when they've, you know, got some devastating sickness that needs a cure. Why don't we, you know, pay out a little bit more to help people eat healthily? And, like, that's what he was doing. He was literally the only person, apparently, and, like, there are interviews after their death where, like, yeah, Brian Thompson was the only person in the insurance company that cared about this stuff and was working to fix it. So you killed the one guy that was working to fix the problems that you've identified. And then he is obviously, you know, not going to be there to help out that. So what happens? What happened as a consequence of that? Did United Healthcare shut down? Did they start approving more things? Did it solve anything? Or did all of the people in his position and at his level get a big bonus so they could hire private security so they no longer had to even interact with the average person? They could be shuttled from helicopter pad to helicopter pad and never have to interact with the people down at the bottom. See, whether they know it or like it or intend it or not, socialist policies always and inevitably serve to bifurcate the society into the ultra rich who can afford or have their company pay for private security and, you know, gated communities. And then the hoi polloi, the rabble out there being subjected to endless and systematic violence that never gets punished. It's just, it's inevitable. It's like they can't help themselves. I don't know why they cannot literally think two or three steps ahead, but they can't. And so we're stuck with these dumbass liberal art school dropouts gleefully giggling while they advocate murder. And, like, I just, what is the solution other than murder? Right? I mean, these people are just going to be like this until it affects them personally. And then maybe they'll be like, oh, murder's bad. Is this how it feels? Is this how it feels to be shot in the back when walking down the street in New York City? I probably shouldn't have advocated for this. This hurts. I don't know. What else is there to say? I'm not advocating murder, but if they are, I mean, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. Now, I've got a very big announcement coming up on the other side. I'm going to download a trailer for something and then announce it when we get back. So don't go anywhere, folks. The War Room continues on the other side.
I need funds to even operate this network and to finish the new studios. Plus, the information is vital, as you know. The bad guys want us off air. They tried to move heaven and earth to get us off air. I can't do this without you. So I'm asking folks that have gotten the products and love them to remind you to get them again at theauctionstore.com. And I want to talk to the vast majority of you that love the show, share articles, videos, great, but you never go to theauctionstore.com. You're missing out not only on getting great products, but on standing up for yourself and your family in the future. It takes money, time, and energy to fight a war, and we are financing our war of truth, our information war against the globalists, having great effects because of your support. So I want to salute those that have supported us, and I want to encourage those that have been on the fence and never bought any product. You're really missing out. Our ultramethylene blue, our bovine colostrum, our CMOS, our Shilajit, not sexy names, but sexy effects, folks. All the products I sell you really, really work. That's why you just need to try them and see what it does. I'd start with methylene blue. 99% of people, more than that, I believe it's like 500 people and 3 people didn't feel it. It's all on medical record what it does, skipping the oxidation process in the cells. Does it act as a stimulant, but feels like a stimulant, no letdown. Then we have methylene red in the tincture and the capsule. The capsules are even more concentrated. It goes with methylene blue in an excellent way, but on its own is incredible. Methylene red capsules, and so these are brand new in the store right now to 50% off. Methylene red capsules are designed to support clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support. This is for people who want to wake up sharper, think clear, and stay locked in throughout the day without relying on fake stimulant garbage. No crash, no junk, no watered down formula, just clean daily support for people who want to stay sharp, stay focused, and keep moving. And if you're a subscriber, you can get up to 50% off. You can cancel anytime, but it locks in to 50% off going forward. Cancel one click for free anytime. It's about 25% off for everybody else, introductory price. Then we got two big buy one, get one free specials that are only running until Monday. Buy one T3 iodine, the very best, purest iodine out there. That is atomic and essential in the body. All the other iodines out there are bound to an element. You don't get full absorption. One of the biggest problems, just look this up for yourself, over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. So many of the neurological disorders and diseases are caused by iodine deficiency. Even the so-called daily allowance of iodine is way lower. Nutritionists I've talked to and scientists say, so you need this. And it's the best iodine you're going to get. You can buy one bottle of T3 iodine and get another bottle absolutely free. You can also get Ultimate Life Force, the Spike Protein Detox, Cardiovascular Booster, great for children, women, men, old folks, you name it. It is incredible. The strongest, best detoxification formula out there, Ultimate Life Force. It's a big old bottle. I got one right here. Buy one, get one free right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support, because I can't do this without you, and I'll just be quite frank with you. We're bringing in, right now, enough money to pay the bills and for the legal, you know, the globalists always trying to shut us down, and that's not good to be on, you know, 10th of a tank. I need to be able to hire more crew, more reporters, more hosts, and scale up and finish the new studios. And we're going to do it, but it's up to you. You are the game changer here. I need you to take action right now at thealexjonesstore.com. These are incredible products. You're really missing out. And again, regardless, take the live feed at Real Alex Jones on X and at the network at AJ and Live on X and on Rumble. Here's the new address. Almost 700,000 followers in just 9 to 10 days. I want to thank everybody for doing that. Love Rumble. We're really going to partner with them. So many big announcements, new shows, more coming. Just get ready. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. Rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I have an important announcement to make here in just a second, but just to finish off with our crime coverage, talking about the left. Again, Hassan Piker goes and gives interviews with the New York Times where he talks about, or CNN or whoever, talks about, yeah, stealing is a good thing. Of course, he's in favor of, you know, Luigi Mangione being murdered. He also abuses his dog with a shock collar and then lies about it when he got caught. He's a despicable human being in every possible way with no redeeming qualities whatsoever, who routinely and you know, deliberately and explicitly encourages violence, again, in ways that it's shocking that he's still allowed anywhere. But not only is he allowed to get away with this on some of the biggest streaming platforms, not only is he celebrated for this type of just brain dead behavior. By the way, he's a complete hypocrite, grew up, you know, beyond wealthy, totally Nepo babies, Cenk Uygur's nephew from the Young Turks. He's sort of perfect. It's actually kind of amazing that he's become the spokesperson for, you know, this chunk of the Democratic Party, because he so perfectly represents the hypocrisy, the fact that he doesn't know anything or have any, you know, good ideas whatsoever. He also happens to love my style. He loves my fashion style, apparently. People say he looks like Nick Fuentes in a suit. Hello, excuse me. Glasses. You ever seen Hassan Piker with glasses? It's fine. It's fine. It's all fine. But here's the big difference. Here's the really big difference between the left and the right, is the right wing will throw you under the bus and condemn you even if you've done nothing wrong. Even if you're somebody like Alex Jones, who is just being, you know, railroaded and having illegitimate lawfare waged against him, you'll still see the right wing say, well, but, you know, maybe you shouldn't have said those things. Or Nick Fuentes, somebody who sure says some edgy stuff, but isn't sitting there going, you know, kill your landlord, let the street run red with their blood. That's the type of stuff Hassan Piker says. So once again, we're in a situation where we do not have an instance of mere inequality. Inequality would be the right wing has insane, violent psychopaths openly advocating for political violence and, you know, the right wing establishment rejecting those people, whereas the Democratic establishment accepts that type of person in their ranks. It's a completely different story here. The Democrats are the ones calling for violence. They do embrace their radical and insane and dangerous fringe. Meanwhile, on the right wing, anybody that simply opposes the Republican Party or, you know, goes one step further than Mike Pence is thrown to the wolves, thrown under the bus, condemned at the first possible chance. Meanwhile, clip number two here, this is Cory Booker, major figure in the Democratic Party, refusing to denounce Hassan Piker, idiot immigrant terrorist. Let's watch.
I want to ask about reaching further to the left. It's become very popular to ask elected officials, would you go on Hassan Piker's stream? Now, I want to kind of just make clear, Hassan and I don't really get along. He recently alleged that I have an AIPAC handler, something that he said without evidence, which actually really affected my show. I think the only reason he said that is I'm Jewish. I've never had an AIPAC handler or taken a dollar from AIPAC or anything like that. But I recognize that he has a huge audience that is further to the left of where you are and where I am. Reaching to the middle, I understand. Is there value in trying to reach that young, further to the left, anti-capitalist audience that he has built, for better or worse?
A leader should reach out to everyone.
I just want to keep it, yeah, we just keep it there on his face for a little while. I thought that was actually kind of perfect. I didn't even know it had stopped. He just, that's how he looks sometimes. So, I mean, that, again, just the difference, the differences between the right wing, when it's like, hey, this kid Nick Fuentes, you know, says white people are going to be a minority soon and that, you know, we should care about that. And they're just like, then he's the worst and I want to kill him. He deserves to die. Meanwhile, you have Hassan Piker just being like, we America deserve 9/11, bro. And you should kill your landlord. And you get, you know, Timu Hakeem Jeffries up there going, you know, it's we got to embrace everybody. You know, a real leader embraces everybody. Again, just to reiterate, just to hammer it home, it's not that the Nick Fuenteses or the whoever else, the Alex Joneses, are out here being equal to the hatred, the viciousness, the vindictiveness of a Hassan Piker. And I'm pointing out the disparate reaction of the political groups. that would be simply inequality. This is something else. This is where the right wing is not violent psychopaths, don't get embraced by the establishment. The left is violent psychopaths, do get embraced by the establishment. Just a lesson out there. The Democrats don't care. They really don't care. Again, I don't know how to make them care. I don't know what you have to do to get them to care. Like I said last week, there was a girl who was literally pushed in front of a train by a crazy black dude, refused to, you know, charge him because she didn't want to put another black man in prison. And she's now responsible for the murder of another man. That's kind of a social murder, if you really want to think about it. If you really think about it, these are all social murders taking place. So again, I'm not about to push somebody in front of a train, so I don't know what else I could do to convince them the evidence of their own eyes. That's sort of the thing. I was saying earlier, like, these people can ignore these problems until they can't anymore, right? You can ignore the rising crime rate until it's a dude in a ski mask in your house with a gun to your head. But even then, the left seems incapable of connecting the dots. They will flee California because of the policies and then try to enact those same policies in their new state. How do you deal with a population of retards? I don't know. I just don't. No offense. No offense. I'm sorry for using the word. But what else am I supposed to call them? But what else? What other label applies? And again, we'll get into, we'll stick with some chud news right now, since we're talking about crime. Let me go to clip number 25 here. This is Archetype Theory on X. Archetype Theory on X. I've sort of been leading the charge when it comes to Chud the Builder and his legal situation. And you know, this video is a little long, so I'll probably not be able to go to the whole thing. And, you know, I'll save that. I'm actually going to play that in the first 5 minutes of the next hour because it's a little bit longer and I want to let as much of it play as possible. But there's other news that I want to get to here in this segment. So I'll play that in the next one. So we'll take a quick break from the crime stuff. And actually, I want to make a very important and good announcement, a very exciting announcement. I, your War Room host, will be attending and participating in and speaking at an event being held this November. It was just announced mere minutes ago by Joel Webbin of NXR. You can follow him at Joel Webbin on X. And here's the announcement. It's the Christ is King America After Trump event. It will be taking place in Irving, Texas in November. I will be speaking there and tickets are now on sale. Let's watch the trailer.
America will either have Christ or we'll have chaos. For years, conservatives believed that Trump could reverse America's decline. But after Trump, the right is now fractured, exhausted, and losing ground. Endless infighting and electoral losses have exposed a deeper problem that politics alone cannot solve. A nation that rejects Christ cannot be restored by mere personalities, grandstanding, or Christless conservatism. So NXR Studios' first annual conference, America After Trump, brings together pastors, politicians, commentators, and Christians that are committed to strength, cooperation, and a durable future for the American right. Complaining is not a strategy, and despair cannot be an option. Christ is King. Let's live like it. Save 50% off your ticket only by registering before May 31st at newchristianright.com/conference. That's newchristianright.com/conference.
So there you go, folks. You saw yours truly featured in there. So I will be a speaker as well as a bunch of other big personalities. Joel Webb and Alex Stein will be there. Calvin Robinson, obviously, will be there. Very exciting time this November. If you can make it to Irving, Texas, get your tickets soon because they are right now $125 for the early bird special. It's a 3-day event. Like I said, I'll be speaking there. Come hang out. It'll be family friendly. I know there's family pricing in there as well, but the tickets will never be this cheap. So you're going to want to get them now. And I look very forward to seeing you all there this November. And I'll go ahead and retweet that. You can find that trailer and find out how to get tickets at my X at Harrison H. Smith. And I'll probably make a video after the show today to elaborate a little bit on it. But very excited to do that and get involved in a real way politically. Now let's talk about Thomas Massie, because Thomas Massie is fighting for his life against the deep state, against Israel, against Donald Trump and the fake MAGA coalition. This race has become emblematic and symbolic of the wider political conflict going on right now. It's very sort of ideal for explaining what's really going on in this country. It is far and away the most expensive race in congressional history by like a lot. And because all practically all of the money is coming from foreign billionaires and going to Thomas Massie's opponent. Well, Thomas Massie's fans and supporters have volunteered their time and their talents to helping to push him over the edge and over the finish line there in Kentucky, which this is what we need. We don't have the billions of dollars to spare like AIPAC does, like Paul Singer and Miriam Adelson do. So we have to come up with something else. What we have is the people, the talent, the social media networks. We've been wielding this as strongly as we possibly can. Obviously, we dedicated a lot of the last two shows, War Room, Thursday and Friday, to pushing the Thomas Massie get out the vote effort. It appears neck and neck still. I haven't gotten really solid numbers one way or the other. Supposedly, Ed Gowrain, the challenger, has edged up, you know, ahead of Thomas Massie. But this is all early voting, and it's still anyone's race. And just the fact that it's a competition, it's kind of a damnation of our entire system, because it should not be even a competition. But this is where we're at. This is where we are now. It's really, there's no accounting for it, to be honest with you. I mean, I got other videos today of Democrat politicians, women, like basically making pornography. Like, okay, you know, this is the world that we live. I mean, it is like beyond idiocracy. It's literally people being like, vote for me while they're twerking, or like filming upskirt videos of themselves being like, I want to be your congresswoman, look at my coochie. And it's just like, what is this? We played the video of the woman in Virginia a couple months ago. It was like the same thing. She was like, I'm shooting a workout video. And it's just like, you want to tilt the camera up a little bit, lady? I mean, it's like that, well, it's like that Bill Hicks joke about, you know, in the 80s, he was like, you know how they're going to be advertising Coca-Cola soon, right? Yeah, Rhode Island Senator Tierra Mack has no regrets over twerking TikTok. That's a different one. That's not even the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the white lady. Yeah, no, it is actually stupider than this. We are no joke, maybe one or two cycles away from just straight up having porn stars just being like, I think I could be a great politician. If you like watching me get railed, you should vote for me. And people vote for it. They will. I mean, it is unaccountable. And I feel the same thing about this Ed Gowrain guy, where like he literally gets up and is like, I would tell you my background, but that's classified. It's like, what? What? So we have a politician that we're just not supposed to know who he is or what he does for the government. What? He doesn't debate. He gets caught using AI to, you know, publish it. He's like not a real person. And yet people are voting for him. Like, what do you do? What do you do in this situation? And how far are we from having legitimately non-existent politicians? Right? If Ed Gowrain can get elected, then so can Siri and Alexa. You know, so can an animatronic, you know, monkey puppet that speaks English. Might as well. Do you really think we're that far? I wouldn't be surprised if you had some, like, you know, sort of like playing, testing this out next time. Like, would you be surprised if it was like, you're a new candidate for mayor in Kansas City is making waves because he's an AI and he's getting votes. Let's take a look. Like, they're going to introduce this. I really believe that we're not far from that. And the Ed Gowrain is sort of a test case for it. Because if this dude can get elected, it's sort of it for American Republic. And everybody who's genuine recognizes this. We'll go now to clip number 9. This is James Lee, great content creator. He's there in Kentucky. It's part of this Get Out the Vote ground game operation. He had Joe Kent on, of course, great whistleblower, former director of the National Counterterrorism Center, who resigned his job out of, frankly, professional disgust at the war in Iran and the way Israel controls Donald Trump. Here's what Joe Kent had to say about Thomas Massie and this $30 million attack against him. Let's watch.
It's the most expensive House race in U.S. history. I think the most expensive primary race in U.S. history. And 95% of that money is coming from foreign lobbies, so specifically the Israeli lobby. So for you as the former director of counterintelligence, do you see this as a potential foreign intelligence risk at all? I think let's start here, you know, in terms of where, you know, your expertise is at.
I mean, foreign influence for sure. It's pretty obvious when we have people who, even though they may be Americans, are prioritizing the agenda of a foreign government over the needs of their own government. That's just a major problem. And that's something I think we need to address. I support Massey's push to label AIPAC as to have them register with FARA. But yeah, this is a major issue. I think it just speaks to one of the big flaws of our political system, how money can be flooded into the system. And if we don't have a diligent citizenry, they will get away with it. That's a big reason why I think this race is so important.
And he's exactly right. Again, the amount being spent here is astronomical. And it really shows you this is about much more than a congressional race. This is being used as a test case by the Israeli lobby, basically as a challenge on their part to go, here's this guy who is like the most beloved congressman ever. Again, I'll say it again. How many congressmen can you even name? There are 435. You could probably name AOC. You could name Thomas Massie. You could probably name the Speaker of the House and, you know, people like that. But Thomas Massie has been a household name for years at this point. So you take somebody with national name recognition, beloved in his home state, beloved by his voters. Even when Donald Trump went against him, he still got 80% of the vote during his primary last time. Is it possible to destroy that person purely through money and the influence of the Israeli lobby? Because if it is, if they can show this is what happens if you mess with us, this is what happens if you try to stand up against us in any way, right? Thomas Massie's not out there throwing the Hitler salute. He's not out there, you know, co-signing Hamas. He's basically like, I don't want to send money overseas and we should release the Epstein files. And that is enough. And there is a method in the ruthlessness. There is a method in the extremism. There's a lesson that they're teaching everybody of we're crazy. We're unhinged. We have nothing to lose, or we have no limits to what we're willing to lose to get our way completely, totally, and without a single person objecting or going against us. Yeah, as Lauren at CabSav456 says on X, in case people aren't fully grasping the absurdity of the Thomas Massie primary contest. The typical House primary spends just $100,000 to $500,000 total. That's candidates plus outside groups for the entire race. Many safe district incumbents spend almost nothing in the primary. This one, $35 million plus total spending. It's by far the most expensive U.S. House primary in history. The record prior to this was a $25 million race for New York 16 in 2024, Bowman versus Latimer Democratic primary. Before that, it was just 18 to 19 million for Missouri 1 in 2024, Bush versus Bell, another Democratic primary. Look into these three races and see where that money came from and why. This is a coordinated effort. It was successful twice already. We'll see if it's successful a third time. So again, what they're hinting at is the Democratic primaries that make up the, you know, number two and number three most expensive primary races in all of American history were also instances of the Israeli lobbying network pouring money in to try to oust somebody that may have been a good candidate, but wasn't Israel first. So that's really what we're seeing here. And once again, I'll say the explicitness with which they're doing this, the obviousness with which they are impacting American politics is the point, right? You know, maybe they could have done this a little bit quieter behind the scenes, but they want everybody to know. They want you to know that there is no limit to the amount of money they're going to spend to destroy you if you in any way, at any point, try to stand up against them. So that's the message they're trying to teach the congressmen, the representatives, and it's the message they're trying to teach to the American people. The question of whether Thomas Massie wins has now taken on the cast of a question of whether or not we still have a country anymore. These are the newest numbers. AIPAC and the Israeli lobby have now spent $15 million boosting Ed Gowrain and attacking Representative Thomas Massie in Kentucky's 4th District. Okay, so it seems like Gowrain is doing okay. Some of the numbers today were saying that he had pulled ahead. I don't know if that's accurate because they are pulling out all the stops to try to end Thomas Massie's congressional career. President Trump is not only tweeting out like an idiot about Thomas Massie endlessly, he's also made a video now attacking Thomas Massie. I'll show you that on the other side. They also are using AI in a way that is totally illegal to try to trick Massie voters. And they're sending Pete Hegseth, who in his official role as Secretary of War should not be involved whatsoever in American races. And again, if we had a virtuous and intelligence populace, they wouldn't be able to do these things. Because the instant they did, all of the intelligent, well-read, and thoughtful citizens would actually see it as a negative, right? But everybody's stupid, unfortunately, and they watch Fox News. And so it becomes, oh, Pete Hegseth likes him. Oh, that's cool. Pete Hegseth's great. And he endorsed him. That's amazing. What should be happening is, wait, the Secretary of Defense is campaigning for this person? That's completely inappropriate. What a disturbing abuse of the Pentagon. Why would I vote for somebody that was engaged in something like that? But that's not going to happen. I'll show you those clips on the other side. I do want to remind you right now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com. We have a BOGO sale. It is BOGO subs. The T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture is buy one, get one free. That's a bombshell product that people do tend to stock up on. So stock up now. Get the T3. Buy one, get one. Also, the Ultimate Life Force is built to support full body detox, cellular cleanup, healthy circulation, immune defense recovery, and daily vitality. That also is a buy one, get one offer on thealexjonesstore.com. Go today.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts. They're limited edition. There, a lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, 5 different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the Shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com, because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, and you can cancel any time. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel any time. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.